All right, pardon me. I got to get my protection on here again. There you go. There you go. Nice and snug.
This is like ASMR?
Well, more like something, if you get penicillin, we'll treat it.
Okay.
It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Wednesday. Stein will join us here today to talk about, am I crazy or does it just feel like we're watching, the Trump presidency, the train record it's becoming? Because I honestly going to tell you the truth, the minute Obama started poking his head back into politics, is the minute did you notice that Trump started to really lose it. And I think it was a little – the stress of realizing that he can't order coronavirus to do something and that there's a very legitimate chance that coronavirus is going to wipe out his entire legacy, let alone that it will cost the Republicans pretty much everything, so that a guy like Trump will never be remembered positively. It'd be like Hoover. People will forget about Hoover because, the Republicans don't brag about Hoover. the beginning of the All in the Family, you said we need a president like Herbert Hoover again. I got news for you. No, we didn't. Everything the guy did was a freaking nightmare. Anyway. But, maybe that's what it is. Just every once in a while we need a reminder of why we hire professional politicians to be president of the United States. Maybe we just needed a little reminder of that. But anyway, we'll talk to Stein a little bit about that, as well as a few other things as well. A lot to get to today. Went out to Round Lake, which is not that far from us here at the station, just right down Valley View. It's right by Eden Prairie High School. You know where that's at there, Eric?
Yeah.
There's a little lake there. It's about a mile around. It could be the best young kid hike lake I have been on yet. Now, I don't have young kids. I just was looking for something close by my house that was quick, and that was the lake that popped up. But as I was walking it, someone has, first of all, has taken and done the rock thing, where they paint the rocks and they put them around. But if you start at the beach, they'll tell you all the different kinds of rocks that there are around there, and there's tons that you can go find on the pass out there. It's a cute little lake. It's very, it's paved all the way around, relatively flat. Gorgeous. And it was, and here's the crime. It was near empty. It's near empty. I mean, it does. I know that some of these lakes get, and some of these trails and parks get real busy in the afternoon, but it does just amaze me with the amount of people that are still working from home or are at home in some capacity. There's a total of, I walked that lake. It was a mile around. I saw four more people, but that were not me and my kids. That's it. I just think a lot of people are, I don't know. I don't know if people are scared of walking at parks or if they just, the idea of doing it is there, but it's just there. They're just not getting out as much.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is a smaller walk. Like you said, maybe people are just, maybe that's their regular one. I don't know what it is.
There are some people that are, the guys that go run all three lakes. When you talk about the lakes over in Minneapolis, so they'll start at Harriet, eventually get up towards the, onto the north side there at, Lake of the Isles. And oh, by the way, can I mention a little story? If you don't mind, if you can allow me.
I'll allow it.
If I can. That lake in the middle now, that's Bede Makoska. It's never going back. Oh, people that demand racist white guys have their name on things, suck it. All right, there we go. Anywho, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources has the authority to rename Lake Racist White Guy from South Carolina to Bede Makoska. It's Dakota name. The state Supreme Court ruled on Wednesday morning. The ruling caps a years-long dispute over the name of the popular Minneapolis lake. It reverses a decision of the Court of Appeals last spring that stated that former DNL Commissioner Tom Landwehr lacked the authority to rename the lake. Save Lake Racist White Guy from South Carolina, a group representing – well, I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing. A group representing homeowners surrounding the lake. Let me just say that. Representing a small percentage of the homeowners around the lake. Most of the people around the lake didn't want this fight. Anyway, they took to the state courts after the DNR renamed the lake in 2018. The group argued the agency violated the 1925 law prohibiting the renaming of lakes and other bodies of water that existed for more than 40 years. On Wednesday, The state Supreme Court ruled that deadline in the law only applied to county boards, not to the DNR commissioner. The commissioner has statutory authority to rename the lakes, to change the names of Minnesota lakes, including those with names existing for 40 years or more, said Justice David Lillehog, who wrote in the opinion, under Minnesota law, the body of water that was Lake Racist White Guy from South Carolina is now Bede-Mikaska. The high court was divided on the interpretation of the law that led to the DNR changing the name. A dissenting opinion written by Chief Justice Lori Gildan, supported by Justice Barry Anderson, argued the legislature never intended to give the DNR the full authority to rename bodies of water and other geographic features. Under the DNR's interpretation, it can effectively change the name of any lake in Minnesota at any time with essentially no role for those most impacted by the change, the people who live on or near the lake. Okay, I don't think... okay. I don't think anyone's talking about just a crazy DNR commissioner going in there saying, it was Pond Lake, but now I'm going to call it buttercream all over my body lake. You know? That would decrease values, I would presume, on the property around the lake. Oh, old buttercream all over my body lake. What a delightful lake you are. I don't think – I get what you're saying, but, you know, I think we generally haven't had this problem before. This came up because we noticed, hey, that's a racist white guy from South Carolina. Oh, and by the way, he was racist. The father of the Civil War himself. An abhorrent racist who beat and killed his own slaves, starved them at times. Just a disgusting human being who for his entire life pleaded with people to make sure that African Americans were never treated as equals as whites. That guy does not deserve to have his name on a urinal. Well, maybe a urinal. Speaking of urinals, when
in
I was
the done, urinal, like one of those little pictures you can aim at.
Well, no, actually, what it was is when I was in South Carolina. Funny story: John C. Calhoun's buried in Charleston. He's got a gravestone right there. I had a little bit too much sweet tea. I'll just leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. But I gave him a big old salute from Minnesota. Anywho, don't do that. Let me be the bad guy. In the ruling, Lillehog argued the DNR commissioner has the power to change the names of lakes since the law was updated in 1937. In any event, we should have the power to name lakes, and whether a 40-year-old name or bodies of water places geographic features should be permanent are matters of policy for the legislature. If the legislature sees to or foresees excessive name changing, it can legislate to curb it. Even after the appeals, the ruling last year, Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board continued to refer to the lake as and land around surrounding it as Bede-Mikaska, so as U.S. Board of Geographic Names, which also renamed the Bede-Mikaska. The group that's they're not saying much. I don't know why, but yeah, Bede-Mikaska forever and ever and ever and ever. Ha 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 ha! Oh, I love it when people can you just see the. The veins, oh, the red face. Ooh, but you're angry. But you're angry. Sucks to be you, then. Gary's in Minneapolis. Gare Bear, welcome on into the show.
And my old buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just got to say something. They announced today, I think it was CNN, that 27 million Americans are losing their health coverage to their employer base because they're probably losing their jobs all of them. And, of course, we have these troubling times in both our economy and this illness. But maybe that'll end up in the long run. The people just raise all this chaos and trouble because of this. We'll get something like Medicare or some kind of single payer in there and a less greedy system because it's such a burden on the American people.
You want to hear something interesting about that story, Gary?
Yeah.
That Cornyn, the House Minority Leader, I believe it is. He's the Senate leader. I think he's like second in charge in the Senate. Cornyn came on out and said, hey, don't worry. If you've lost your health insurance, guess what? You can sign up for the Affordable Care Act. Cornyn did. This is a guy that has tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act something like 78, 79 times. Now that basically all these people are saying, we need help, what's he do? Well, he's all of a sudden, well, you guys are on your own. You can go get the Affordable Care Act. Hey, look, Affordable Care Act over there. It's still alive. You can go sign up there. Thank God you can sign up for that. 952-946-6205. Thanks, Gary, for the phone call. 24 more people have died of COVID-19 in Minnesota, health officials reported on Wednesday. The count of confirmed cases grew to 12,917 statewide, a one-day increase of 431 cases. That's smaller than recent daily figures. One of the newly reported deaths was Hennepin County resident aged 30 to 39, only the second fatality in that age range this far, according to data posted Wednesday morning. The pandemic has caused 638 deaths across the state, the health department said. In addition, the state says there have been 9 probable COVID-19 deaths, which means COVID-19 was listed on the individual's death certificate, but a positive test had not been documented. Residents of long-term care accounted for 17 of the 24 newly accounted deaths. Overall, deaths in long-term care facilities have accounted for roughly 4 out of every 5 pandemic deaths in Minnesota. Healthcare workers account for 1,532 cases out of the statewide total. An increase of 96 cases over Tuesday's report. And a reminder here, as we're kind of getting away from the point where we're all going, yay, nurses, yay, doctors, yay, first responders. Remember to go, yay, doctors, yay, nurses, yay, first responders. These people are still every single day putting their lives on the line to try to stop this pandemic from consuming us. And by the way, I don't know if this is true. I'm trying to find out the details on this. I heard a rumor there's a hospital that's ordering nurses to reuse personal protection equipment that is, you know, designed for one-time usage because either they can't find new stuff or it's just too pricey. If they can't find stuff, we need to find it for them. If it's because it's too pricey, then we need to fire everyone that's on the decision-making element of that hospital and replace them with people that understand you can't just hope your nursing and doctor staff don't get sick. You have to ensure they don't get sick. So if I'm looking into this. If I find out there's hospitals that are demanding nurses reuse equipment, I want someone from that hospital on this show explaining to me why. Why are we doing this? Is it cost cutting or can't you find it? And if we can't find it, what do we need to do to get the stuff here? End of story. COVID-19 is the respiratory illness caused by coronavirus. Since the first case reported in Minnesota on March 6th, a total of 1,851 people have been hospitalized, up from 1,799 on Tuesday. People at the greatest risk from COVID-19 included those aged 65 and older, residents of long-term care facilities, and those with underlying medical conditions. Numbers published Wednesday morning cover 4 p.m. Monday to 4 p.m. Tuesday. There are now 8,787 patients in the state who no longer need to be in isolation, up from 8,223. Reminder, too, I'm going to keep doing this. Reminder that the reason why the numbers are so high in Minnesota is because we are one of the few states that's actually testing more people, as many people as we can. We got that deal with the state, the University of Minnesota, and the Mayo Clinic, and they're testing as many people as possible. That's why our numbers are so high. If they were testing other states like Minnesota, guaranteed every other state would be, like, really high, too. And this is the reason why Trump doesn't want these states tested, because he knows the ugly truth is that coronavirus is far worse than we already are seeing, and it's terrifying right now. I'll go to Randy in St. Cloud before we get into the break. Welcome on in, Randy. Thank you very much for holding.
Well, first, on the point you just made, what I don't think you understand, Matt, is the MAGA hat is protection against getting the coronavirus.
Is it? I don't think that's scientifically proven.
It's scientifically proven, but you did point out that Cornyn hypocritically suggested people could, you know, sign up for Obamacare that they all hate.
Oh, no, he called it the Affordable Care Act now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I got to point out, that's horrible, and I agree. But Nancy Pelosi's latest proposal in this last stimulus kind of package, I'm guarding my words carefully, that not only do you want to bail out lobbyists, they need some money because, of course, who's going to write their bills if they're not bailed out? But She wants to give some help for people getting COBRA. That's so pathetic. I can't believe it.
Well, there's a reason why, Randy, and thank you very much. And it's nice when every once in a while Nancy Pelosi stands up to Trump. And that does, and it gives us our rah-rah moment. The reality is that she's an ineffective leader, and we need to replace her. So my personal feeling is the next, the U.S. House, we should put a new Speaker of the House in place. I'm a big fan of Betty McCollum. Whether or not she would want to do it, I don't know. John, hold on. I'll get your call after the break. 952-946-6205. Stein does join us here in just a little bit. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The Electric Fetus remains closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but we are all staying safe and hope we can see our wonderful community again soon. During this time, we are filling orders for music, gift department items, and gift cards at electricfetus.com. Orders of $35 or more ship free. We will be reopening as soon as it is safe to do so for our customers and staff, and we will see you in the aisles again when the time is right. Watch for updates and contact us at electricfetus.com. That's electricfetus.com.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. Don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
Thanks to some of our new members here, Timothy in St. Paul, Pam in Eden Prairie, Catherine in St. Anthony, Todd in Wayzata, James and Christina in Fridley, Donald in Andover, Michael in Minnetonka, Steve in North Mankato, Bill in Eagan, Harvey in Eden Prairie. Howdy! Thank you very much. Become a member of AM 950. You can just do that by going to am950radio.com. Sign up on the membership page there. You can either do a monthly donation or a one-time donation. And by all means, if you give a one-time donation, you can give another donation. We do appreciate that. If you'd like to sign up, if you'd like to give another donation, go to am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. I did want to make sure I mentioned here that Governor Walz is going to it's expected he's going to extend the peacetime emergency tonight at 6 o'clock. He's doing a big press thing here. I think that's the good call. I've been reading some of pandemic experts, scientists, health experts, and their anticipation is the second and third wave of coronavirus are going to make this first one look like nothing in this country because we haven't stopped anything. We have only basically created almost a perfect petri dish for coronavirus to expand. And so, my gut feeling is we're going to continue with this, which is the right policy. It really is. It's hard to hear it because it's been right now for a lot of people. We're getting close to 2 months of having stayed indoors for the most part. But the reality is that limiting our contact is still the best option out there. So 952-946-6205. Let's go to John in Minnetonka. Basically, we wanted to chime in about not wearing masks. Welcome on in, John. John, there you are.
I am a member and want to encourage other people to join. I don't want to see AM 950 go anyplace.
I appreciate that. We very much do appreciate that, John. Thank you.
And I appreciate you. I love your energy, man. So I love listening to you in the afternoon. I have had to go out and do some errands today, so I've been out and about. I've got my mask. I always make sure I've got a mask when I go in any place.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing all these people without masks.
Yes.
And I find it very irritating. And I've said very calmly, I haven't jumped on them, gone on a rant on them. I asked a couple of them, said, can I ask why you're not wearing a mask? He said, I don't do any good. It's not going to keep me from getting sick. I said, I know it won't. The mask I'm wearing is what's going to keep you from getting sick, but you don't have the respect for me to wear a mask and be willing to protect me, too. Oh, it doesn't work anyway. It doesn't make any difference. Mm. I said, hey, you can have not wear a mask if you want to. I don't care. You know, you want to put yourself at risk, go for it.
Mm.
But you have no right to put me and my family and my loved ones at risk because you're too rude to wear a mask.
Well, and you know, John, here's the thing. We were at a store today. My son and my daughter, one of my daughters, went with me into the store. We all had our masks on. When we went for our walk, we have the masks in our pocket, but we don't have them on because generally you're not going to be too near anyone. But if we did get into a crowded area, yeah, you can quickly put the things on. It's not a big deal. And,
exactly.
So it's not that anyone's here demanding that anytime you walk outside to walk your dog or anything and at 5 a.m. you have to have a mask on. No, if there's no one else in the street or if there's very few people around you in a large area, I think you're going to be fine. But if you're in a store, for goodness sakes, that blows my mind. And to see, and I mean, I'm 51, but to see the elderly people roam right in without a mask on. It's like, are you seeing the numbers of what this does to the elderly community? For God's sakes. That's the one that blows my mind is when I see some guy who's, you know, 75, 80 years old without a mask on. I'm like,
seeing 75, 80 years old without a mask and wearing a MAGA hat.
Wearing a MAGA hat. And he was wearing it. By the way, John, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. And he was wearing a MAGA hat today. He was wearing a MAGA hat. Going after Randy in St. Cloud a little bit, Lisa making the point, Nancy Pelosi can't pass bills alone. She knows the Senate is with Moscow Mitch. I understand that, too. But if that's the case and you know you can't get bills passed, then I'd be saying, oh, let's refund the Affordable Care Act as it was intended to be funded. I'd be screaming single payer right now and put them in the position of knocking it down. Remember, it's an election year.
Yeah, at least give them something to draw a contrast to.
Exactly. And there's not much that she's, well, I guess we'll give another benefit to the wealthy. I understand. Mitch doesn't make things easy. But at the same time, it's like the impeachment. It's not about what they're doing. It's about what we're doing. We impeach the Trump and we send it up to the Senate. And if the Senate lets him go, that's on the Senate. You know, if I was Nancy Pelosi, if I was the Democrats right now, I'd be screaming single payer health care system now in America and let the Republicans, as we're in the middle of a pandemic, sit there and keep screaming, no, 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 no. Let them. They can't bail that boat fast enough. So, I think that there is very much some credence, and I'm gonna be careful how I say this. There are a lot of people that liked Bernie who feel as if that the main parts of the Democratic Party are still controlled by the same people that control the Republicans. I have zero doubt there's a lot of people that give money to both sides. And I have zero doubt that those people call over and say, you know, we understand you're different from Republicans, but you're not going to be that different. And I understand there's a lot of Democratic politicians, especially moderates, who say, okay, we won't be that changing. But for God's sakes, you have a chance to wipe out the Republican Party in 2020. You can take out every state Republican majority. You can take out the Senate to a more than a filibuster-proof majority for the Democrats. You can get the House to a point where the Republicans can't even see midline. and you can kick the White House back. Instead, it's like, okay, we're Republican light. I'm not a big fan of that. I am not a big fan of that. So personally, I would love to see some, and I give Biden credit, bringing AOC in on his climate change advisory council. That's a good step. And let's start ringing some bells. How about we do that? Frederick is in Winona Heights. Frederick, thank you very much for holding. Welcome on in.
When people say, oh, they got COBRA, they don't realize that people who have to take COBRA have to take all of the pay that the company was providing for you as part of your compensation package for you to get the lower rate that you see that you think is already outrageous.
Well, and I think that there is the point. Don't make people have to spend money to get money in this situation. Just – And this is unfortunate. I'm going to get to this with Stein here in just a bit. But this is the part of the problem, is that we have Republicans who have gotten the Democrats to a point where the Democrats just don't go on out there and say, well, let's send another check out. The Republicans are like, no, never. No, we sent one check. Well, they didn't even send one check to everyone. I think a lot of people still haven't gotten their check. And now they're demanding that unless these people go back to work, they don't get any more unemployment benefits. We have a window to do the right thing right now, and we should be doing it, not waiting for an opinion poll to come back to see if the donors are going to be too upset about it. And the reality is, it is way disappointing. It is incredibly disappointing to me that there aren't more Democrats right now hammering on the table single payer health care, because if they're ever was a case where single-payer health care would be a good idea, it's a pandemic. 952-946-6205. Stein calling us from the beautiful shores of buttercream all over my body lake. We'll get to Jeff Stein in just a moment. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, everybody out there in AM 950 Radio Land. This is Paul Metza from the Wall of Power Radio Hour. We've got a great show this weekend. We continue our series with liberal blogger and cool cat, Mr. Charlie Pierce. You've seen him on CNN and MSNBC. It's our sixth episode with Mr. Pierce. We talk politics, music, Bob Dylan, Little Richard, the Supreme Court, President Trump, and more. 6 p.m. Saturday on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
At Rudy Luther Toyota, the health and safety of their customers and employees is the top priority. They continue to take extreme precautions to keep everyone safe. Like many businesses in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota is starting to move forward. They have a huge selection of new and certified used Toyotas, and Toyota has announced 0% APR financing for up to 60 months for qualified buyers on several of their most popular models, like my favorite, the new RAV4. You can even take up to 90 days to make your first payment. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis, and online at rudyluther.com.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drinkin' the Style. Look, we're all working from home right now, and chances are you've become aware of the importance of a decent office chair. Well, I'd like to offer you a means of helping a local business while making working from home a lot more pleasant. How about considering the X Chair? We can ship the X Chair directly to your home. Now, I wish I could have you into Habitation to try it out, but that's not an option. So I'm encouraging you to visit xchair.com to have a look. But once you do, please give Habitation a call to place your order. Doing so ensures that you're supporting a local business at a time that we really need your help. And I'll tell you what. When you place your order by phone with Habitation, we'll discount the chairs an extra 10% off the lowest price on the X-Chair website. So do your back, neck, and butt a favor and take a look at X-Chair at xchair.com. Then call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548. 3548.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, just really quick, Gwen Nystrom, a big fan of her. She's running up in the Minnesota 8th District. She's got a nice editorial today. She talks about how why she's running and about health care and how, why she got married quickly. It was about health care as well. That's in the Star Tribune. You can go check that out. Also, speaking of checking things out, why not check out Robert Pilot's Progressive Party this afternoon. Sam Grant, the executive director of Minnesota 350, and Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutch is going to be here. So make sure you're with us. 5 o'clock hour tonight. That is Pilot's Progressive Party. 952-946-6205. Jeff Steinzer, national and presidential expert. Noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books, also at totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Reports, the weekly business show he does down in Iowa. And, of course, he joins us from KXEL, where we get the Iowa Politics Report. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, good afternoon, and welcome to a newly reopened country.
Well, good luck in Iowa. I saw that they're going to open gyms. Gyms? Yeah. Are you crazy?
Well, now you tell me.
Yes.
Because there was a you don't even need the setup.
Yep, you are. Gyms, that's a bad idea.
There was a gym owner in Cedar Rapids, the second largest city, and one of the areas that had not previously seen any reopening. And he basically said, well, I don't care. I'm just going to open. So he opens. They arrest him. Well, first of all, he opened and then went on television to proudly say he was open. His competitors complained, and so the police went and gave him a citation. And the next day, his business would be legal if he had just waited 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no social distancing. I mean, they were belling up to the juice bar or whatever you do. I'm not a fitness person. I have no idea. But it didn't appear that they were doing whatever it is. I don't know.
They're taking some jazzercise classes and their Zumbas.
See, you know the terms. That's more distressing. But, look, restaurant. The whole thing with restaurants, right? It is fair to say that your Eat Local Minnesota businesses have wonderful food.
Mm-hmm.
They are strong community supporters. But realistically, any restaurant has a tight margin.
Oh, very, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not trying to be flip. It's
oh,
just,
no, it's not. There's a lot of businesses are built on very tight margins. Grocery stores as well. Very tight margins. You don't have a lot of wiggle room as far as shutting down for extended periods of time.
Well, and what you also don't have is a lot of margin when they say you can open, but only at 25 or 50% of capacity. Well, you're losing money at that point, right? I mean, because a lot of these business plans require 65, 75, 80%. Mm-hmm. And that's why they want to turn the table so much. And so it's really difficult for these businesses to say, well, sure, let's just open up. I do think we have a real rural-urban split in my state, where some of these rural areas have very low incidences. The larger metro areas have much greater number of incidences. And so what these individual businesses are doing is saying, we're not going to open. There have already been a number of restaurants in the Des Moines area that, since the word came down at 11 o'clock this morning, have said, we appreciate the opportunity to open, but we yet don't think it's safe given our operation, and we're not going to do it. And that's fine. You know, I mean, that's great. It's the business's choice. Just like a week ago, Mike Pence brought the COVID to Iowa. Thank you very much. And as he sat down exposing those religious leaders to it, one of them, a rabbi, got up and said, well, I appreciate that you say that we should open up, but my congregation is made up predominantly of people who you have said are high risk. We're just not going to do it. I appreciate that we have the chance, but we're just not going to do it. And so it is their choice, and that is all well and good.
Well, and let me just bring up where this is going to go, because there is the Colorado, the CNC coffee thing out there that they reopened, and they're packed for Mother's Day, and they're looking in the camera nice and smug, and we're doing better than we thought we would. That sort of thing.
But what a dumb idea.
But the reality is that when all of a sudden people start coming knocking on their door saying, hey, my mom got sick here, and all of a sudden half their staff is sick, and all these people are sick, and people are putting lawsuits on it, that same tough guy attitude is going to be, why is everybody coming after me? And I think the next step in this is some sort of you know, and I'm, I have zero doubt this is going to come from the Republicans, a protective order that basically says, you know, if you go into a business that, that, you know, that business owner who's begging you to come in, telling you to come in, telling the coronavirus is a myth, it's not real. Get in here, have some food, sit down, you'll have a great time, that they're not culpable for that action. And the reality is that I think that and you know, when you talk about Michigan, they had the case where all those clowns that went out and protested the Capitol took coronavirus back to these small towns where all of a sudden they're seeing massive spikes. You know, you really have to have some level of responsibility. Yeah, you want to open up, that's fine. But you are taking the consequences of doing that. If we're talking about personal responsibility, that has got to be the next step. And it's going to be interesting to see where that comes down.
I don't argue with the thing that you just said, and it's already been discussed, right? The business liability rule that would be slid into this. And this is where it gets tricky, right? You know, let's say that Matt McNeil's donut shop, all right, opens up, and you are holding yourself out as being open to the public. If you don't shovel your sidewalk and there's ice and somebody falls, who's responsible?
It's you. Yeah.
Okay. What happens if somebody dumps a cup of coffee and your staff, probably made up of your poor children that you make work there, just like you make them do commercials?
Yes, indeed. That's what I do.
Child labor laws. If they don't mop it up and someone slips and falls, you're responsible. Okay. So if you even could legally, and this is me as a lawyer, I'm trying to figure a way, how do you write this? If in some way you tried to insulate the business from either employees or customers getting coronavirus, even if you could write that in, and I don't know how long does that go? I heard someone say, well, we could do the coronavirus exception until the end of the calendar year or 6 months or whatever it is. Well, what about the second surge?
Yeah.
What about any of these things? And I'm sorry, but what I call the sneeze guard that they have up at the check stand of the grocery store, okay, that's a nice idea, but I'm not trusting it. This is the thing that I always worry about with laws, and I now worry about it when people say, we've put plexiglass up or whatever. It gives people a false sense of security that everything is just fine and hunky-dory, and you don't need to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing could be further from the truth.
Well,
I'm glad we have the spit guard up at the Hy-Vee, but I don't trust that.
Well,
it's going to save my life.
And it's got to be considered it's part of it. It's part of the whole process, exactly. And you're right. There are some people that say, well, that's why there was a run on hand sanitizer to begin with, where people are like, oh, I'll just bathe in hand sanitizer, I guess. And that was kind of the mentality. And it's like, well, no, that's not how this works. I think about, do you remember, was it in California? The gas station that had, what was it, a nacho cheese dispenser that ended up killing like four people or five people with botulism because they weren't, you know, it was obviously, you know, a cleaning issue there. And they actually tried to make the argument that they weren't responsible because the people, when they came in the store to, you know, they should have known better by getting cheese out of a pushdown thing in a gas station. And of course, they got laughed out of court, but that was their argument. You know, I don't know if I like the idea of giving a business owner that much leeway over, you know, in that much, you know, kind of a mulligan, you know, that they can open up, they could get, you know, 40, 50 people sick, including maybe wiping out one or two nursing homes, and there's not any culpability for them, even though they were saying, get in here, get in here, get in here.
No, that's why I don't like the business liability waiver,
mm-hmm.
because what it could do, well, first of all, so here's Matt McNeil's donut shop.
Yes.
And I walk in and I get coronavirus. How do I trace it to your employees or your shop? Let's say, for example, again, you have the McNeil family, Swiss family McNeil is here, and they work at the shop and none of them are symptomatic. None of them show any symptoms, but maybe you all have it. You're just a carrier. You don't have the symptoms of it. Well, you're taking precautions. I come in. I don't see any issue. How do I pin it on you? You may not even know that you have it and are spreading it. That's the big problem with so much of this. So from a legal standpoint, I don't know how I prove the case. Then beyond that, what if You had the sneeze guards. Everybody wore masks and gloves in your employ. You even had a sign at the front that said, please take one of these free disposable masks. I want you to wear a mask when you come and get your jelly Bismarck. All right, so now as a business, I have taken all foreseeable, reasonable steps. What more am I supposed to do? That's kind of how it would go.
Well, and I think
that's in a normal situation, right?
Yeah.
But if you give me liability, why am I going to have masks for you at the door? Why am I going to do any of this? Because I don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's actually a very good point. God, I never thought about it. You know, what's interesting is this, is that curbside pickup actually gives these restaurants a lot of clearance right there, because it becomes very difficult, I think, for anyone to make that cause. Because I'll go the other way, because and just taking it from the other side of the court case.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the business owner, said, we hadn't taken my mother out of her house. She lives by herself. She has basically been secluded. We brought her out because you said bring her out for Mother's Day, for our Mother's Day brunch. We brought her out, and she's now sick. The only place she has been in the last 2 months is your restaurant. Regardless of whether or not you can put up a decent argument or could find something evidence to, you know, make something else, you know, seem like a viable option, you're still going to court, which brings then in the court cost. And then, of course, what's the point of it at this point? I think there is sometimes not giving these people the clearance to do this without any responsibility. And explaining, okay, from here on out, you know, we're not going to get involved with court cases. So if someone sues you, you know, you can defend yourself. But reality is that, you know, you're on your own if you reopen. I think that might be the case. And it might be, unfortunately, a situation where there has to be a sacrificial lamb of a business, where a business gets sued one way or the other. And then becomes the front page, you know, tabloid fodder. And then all the rest of the restaurants say, do we really want to go down this road?
Oh, absolutely right. I had a business lawyer as a guest on the Iowa Business Report, and it was not Iowa-specific, advice that we were discussing, but it was, all right, what obligation does a business have in this era of COVID-19 when you reopen? Mm-hmm. What obligation do you have to your employees? What obligation do you have to customers? And it comes down to, if the CDC says you should do X, Y, and Z, and you either don't pay attention to what they say or you don't follow what they say, you have set yourself up for a costly lawsuit, and as you noted quite accurately, even if you win the lawsuit, you're never going to get the attorney fees and time back. Mm-hmm. So that's a big issue. Here's another issue, though, for businesses. A lot of them say, well, I have insurance to cover such things. Check really carefully, because yes. There are certain things. For example, you know, your basic homeowner's policy does not cover earthquakes. Well, it's not real common in Minnesota, last I knew, to have an earthquake. But if they ever did, and you'd say, well, thank goodness we have what? You mean it's specifically included? That print was too small to read. Yeah. I mean, because that's a lot. I mean, insurance companies write the contracts and you just say, oh, okay, fine. I mean, what if 6 months ago someone had said, well, now, you know, Mr. McNeil, your donut shop's doing very well. Here's your business policy. And don't worry, it covers everything. And you said, well, it says here it doesn't cover global pandemics. No, when was the last time we had that? Spanish flu, which is not accurate, but you get the idea. And you'd say, oh, yeah, that's right. What situation could I conceive of where the entire global economy will be shut down? Okay, I'm fine. Until now, you're not.
Mm-hmm. And I think we call it Kansas flu from here on out, because that's where it started. I'm for fair labeling laws. It is interesting we bring this up, Jeff, because Jim Jordan today, Republican, mm-hmm. What I have said is this. The reason why Republicans want people back to work is they gave some people a benefit check. Most of the middle class and working class did not really get this benefit or haven't gotten it yet. But we wrote one check, we're good. We've been giving billions, trillions to the biggest corporations and wealthiest executives. But you get one check, and we have no intent on giving you anything else. And they know that if people start getting evicted, people start dying, people lose their jobs, that sort of thing, that people are going to be looking about why them basically reopening the country gives them a level of cover. They can say, oh, well, we opened the business. You're just lazy that you didn't want to get to work, even though the business might not have opened. You couldn't find a job. You couldn't, get someplace because of restrictions because of COVID-19. There's a lot of things that are out there, but the real goal here, I think, is by reopening the country is then the Republicans have an excuse on why they don't give out another check. Well, we've reopened everything, so you can go back to work.
And that can work to a degree, depending on how people actually are situated economically come September. And I'll say September because if we remember right, in 08, that was when the economy collapsed, and that really changed the course of the campaign.
Yeah, late August. Yeah, it was late August, that, I believe. And it was
So, it's the sort of thing where I looked this up. The fiscal year 21 federal budget. Okay, so that'd be for the fiscal year that I believe begins in October. They are anticipating $3.86 trillion of revenue for the entire year budget that makes up most of 2021, and that was pre-pandemic. The bill that the House is proposing right now is $3 trillion, in addition to $2 and $3 trillion that are already extra expenditures. So we were already going to have a deficit in the next fiscal year budget. We are looking at, in one piece of legislation, spending more than the entire revenue we anticipated as a country pre-pandemic in a 12-month period. I'm not saying it's not necessary. What I am saying is, where is this coming from? And I'm not saying we don't do things for people. Heaven knows, all right? I'm not going to give back, a government check because of the fact that my income was reduced, et cetera. But the point is that at some point we have to consider, all right, money's great. Is there a different way to provide relief? And that's where you get into these, tax holiday things and whatever. And a payroll tax holiday is great if you have a job. Well, if you don't have a job.
Part of the problem they have is this, and we'll do a real quick thing before we're going to break here. But real quick, do you think we'll ever get to a point where – the Republicans will have to consider raising the taxes on the wealthy because they'll have to get rid of Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. All that will have to be gone. Post office is gone. And then they're still looking at the middle and working class saying your tax rate is going to go up to 50%. At that point, there's going to be pitchforks and torches marching on Washington, D.C. if they don't raise if they still are sitting there saying, but corporations are still at 0% in tax. And I think there's going to have to come that come to Jesus moment where they're going to have to say, well, we have to start taxing the wealthy at the fair rate.
First of all, and you know me long enough to know that I'm going to say this, first define for me what wealthy means, right? Because that is always the hook. They've got to be very specific about such things in a way that resonates with America. And the way that the Republicans, frankly, can get away with doing that and not lose their base is twofold. One, well, we're better than the Democrats, so don't abandon us. Where are you going to go over there? But the second thing is to say, hello, global pandemic. We need to do this on a limited basis. Because the old argument of cut taxes for corporations because they're the drivers of the economy and a rising tide lifts all boats, that's not going to fly when your boat is ashore.
Well,
you don't have a job.
Your boats are all sunk. That's the problem there, and that's a big problem. Tell you what, quick break. When we come back, yes. I want to talk Supreme Court. When we do join, Jeff joins us after the break, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The independently owned Next Chapter Booksellers is still open and there to help you find just about any book imaginable. But did you know Next Chapter Booksellers sells more than just books? They also have a wide variety of cards and puzzles that are perfect for these times when we're stuck inside. They have free home delivery within St. Paul for orders over $50 and free mail shipments within the U.S. for orders over $50. Open daily by phone from 10 till 3, call 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
We'll be right back.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, Supreme Court hear the arguments this week in regards to Trump and whether or not he has to hand over his taxes to the Senate committee, as well as also the prosecutor in New York City. Really, the case came under two different points. One was, can you have a criminal investigation into the president? Which, by the way, that's going to be a 9-0 ruling, because if you heard any of the questions from the justices, they're like, no. But there does seem to be an interesting element that there might be an attempt to do some kind of wiggle room ruling on whether or not the taxes specifically have to get turned over, because the guys like Kavanaugh in the court were saying, we're throwing out these hypotheticals like medical records and stuff. And the guy for the legal counsel for the House was like, I don't know why you're going this way. I mean, this is not what we're talking about. We have the right to subpoena records. And it sounds like they might say, well, you can't get his tax records, but we're not going to say that you can't subpoena other records. And there's a lot of people wondering if that's what that Roberts and the rest of the Supreme Court Republicans are going to try to pull off. So a one-time ruling here, which I don't think would work.
I think it's going to be a one-time ruling, but in a different way, and here's why. A lot of the analysis pointed out that the Trump side acknowledged that the House does have permission to subpoena records like this, but their argument is it is overbroad and inappropriate in this particular situation. So in essence, they were not disputing the right that the House might have. They're saying it was misapplied in this situation. That, to me, is a much better argument to make to the Supreme Court if you're going to try to win, as opposed to throwing up your arms and waving and saying, they can't have anything. You say, well, you can, but not in this particular case. And some of the questioning from the justices with regard to medical records, again, I think what they're trying to do is fashion a general principle that gives the House power, but a specific ruling that says this is overbroad. And so it's not going to help those who want the tax records. But again, the fact that the president's side even said, well, yeah, we admit that they have this constitutional power. Well, that was a big deal. I mean, frankly.
Well, they're flying in the face of that Nixon era ruling, which basically said, no, the House Ways and Means Committee chairman can see anyone's taxes, including the president's. There is no exception. That's a very clear line. I mean, I don't know how you're going to be able to thread a needle through something like that when basically there's no hole.
It's the best you have, Matt, because, OK, I'm the lawyer and I see black letter laws, we used to call it. I don't know why, but that's what they called it. That it's very clear the House has this power. Okay, you either go in and say, well, your predecessors on the court, maybe some of you were wrong. Well, that's not a good way to get a court to agree with you. Mm-hmm. You're better to admit the precedent in a broad general sense and argue that this case is factually distinctive and therefore you get the resolution you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a better legal argument. It doesn't play as well in the court of public opinion, but now you're in the court of the Supremes, not the public opinion.
Well, and the constitutionalists, I think, are actually – that's the biggest problem for the Trump guys, is the constitutionalists might say, no, that's not going to fly with us. You have to have checks and balances. We'll have to find out. I still think they'll find a way to let him off the hook. Jeff, once again, find his books at Next Chapter Books. He, of course, has got the Iowa Politics Report. I'll post that later. Jeff, we'll talk to you next week.
And I also agree with you on that analysis. Have a good week.
Thank you very much. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil.